That's some of it was from the past. I was just fishing around with a friend of hers, that she knew some of the people I knew from the Salvation Army. And kind of got down to the bottom of it. Maybe they're long retired. but one situation I said to her that impressed me, back in the days, if you remember, some of us in the 60s when we were going to grade school, we'd always have a pastor come in every so often to give us a message. And I still remember a Salvation Army captain coming in. I don't remember what he said, but I know that the Lord was with him that day, and I'll never forget that man. So just want that Mary, you know, listen to what Mary's got to say. The Lord's going to speak to her and what she has for us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And Andy set me up with this so that I don't have to hold a microphone and swing my arms around. And I see here that somebody also gave me double water. You can probably hear in my voice that I had a bit of a cough, but it's not because of a bug. It's because I had a bad fall and shook up my lungs or something like that. Hopefully it shook up my whole being and ready for new beginnings. Amen? I want to thank the people that brought all those wonderful, wonderful songs. How many of you have been blessed by the songs this morning? And Annie for giving me her flag. I love to worship. And I know everybody worships differently. And not everybody raises their hands and wants to swing flags and play the tambourine. But I do. And it's just been a real joy. The song, Goodness of God, has been my very, very favorite. And one of the things that happened to me in 2024 is I lost my big sister. It was sort of like my mommy. She's 9.5 years older than I am, and I'm the baby, I'm the fifth, and she kind of took me because there was twins and other children, so Tess, the best. We lost her in May of last year, and every time I sing the goodness of God through that year, it's made me weep. But it did not make me weep today. It made me flood with the knowledge and the joy and the hope that all my life He has been faithful. All my life He has been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I want to sing, I want to speak of the goodness of God. That's my message today, here in the lesson. Right? When I say no more, you hear no more. I was teasing Andy, and I said, I needed him to set this up, and I to turn it on, and I said, that way you guys can turn me off when you've had enough. I don't think anybody told me how long I had, but nobody, like, there's food later, so it's, tastes better when you're hungry, right? So, anyway, I'm really, really conscious. My son worships with me, and sometimes my grandchildren, and they're very, very clearly like, enough, Mom, less words are good. But I do have a message for you today that I feel is from God and isn't just to the Chesley Community Church or to the Wyarton Salvation Army. I believe it is to all believers and all those who profess to be Christians, profess to be followers of Christ, and who have the hope of revival.
Woo!
Did you hear me give a little shout earlier on? Where's Sherry? Where are you sitting, Sherry? There she is. And I said, oh, no. My friends, how excited are we about Jesus today? Are we excited? Yeah! One of my other songs, I went to Florida with a friend once, and the whole way we were singing, "Hearts on Fire," right? Hearts on fire. And that's not always easy, is it? So I am going to just pray. My devotion this morning had a part of 119 that included, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer." Amen. Amen. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, and do you guys read together or? Nope. Okay. That's fine. And so we are going to read Luke 1 from verse 5 to 25. And maybe a familiar scripture too, but you know that in all my years of speaking, I'm in my 31st year in Wyarton, for those of you who have been keeping track when I've been here. 31st year, people will say, "When are you going to retire?" And I said, "There's no such word in the Bible." Amen. And from my understanding, sometimes when we get older, our peace gets even more intense. And this is part of the thing. So just seeing as John introduced me, this isn't about John's birth. So read along with me. "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old." I don't know if anybody can identify that. I have a really hard time thinking I'm very old. "Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside." Oh, friends, so much. Months of Sundays are in these verses. And the worshipers were praying outside. Oh, we have to do that more. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink." Clearly, he must have been part of the Salvation Army. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Oh, my friends, do you hear this? This is such good news, and it's for now, for us. What the Lord, no, I don't have the angel, he didn't come right now and stand beside me, and I think probably I might be a little bit apprehensive, my husband, more so if I just told him I was going to be having a baby. But point is, listen to what the outcome is. "He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children
and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Is that where we want to be? Amen, amen, amen. Zachariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. I seriously think probably I could use this passage for the entire spring, maybe to Easter and maybe beyond. Oh, my friends, can we hear the word of the Lord? And can we pray that God opens the eyes of our hearts, opens our minds, opens our beings, opens the body of Christ to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in the early days of 2025. Amen? So, we've already asked, how are you all? How are you all? How are you in the Spirit of the living God today? Is it well with your soul? Is it well? And if it is not, how can we regain the fire in our hearts? How can we regain this joy of the Lord? I'm not a singer. I love to be a singer. But one of the things that comes to my mind when I say that, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? He gives us living waters, right? And so we'll thirst no more. How many of you need living waters? Because I will be really honest with you. I will fully profess that I feel that. And one of the things that people say, like, how come you're coming to visit Chesley Church? Because I love you. And I feel your love for me. And I feel your prayers for me. And I feel like this is coming to the water, coming to the fountain. So thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And thank you for your lovely reception. So the title, as it's communicated about God changing hearts. And we've been singing about this, right? About God changing the heart. Change my heart, oh God. So the question I have for you this morning is, are you excited? Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? Or are you concerned? Are you fearful? Are you discouraged? Are you apprehensive? No, there's bad stuff going on in the world today, isn't there? I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going to turn the radio on if there's anything with a T-R-U-M-P. Turn it off. And not saying that there's not some positives in that administration, but there's some real good concern for us, isn't there? But who's the king? You said it, Joan, right? God. as kings or moose kings, yeah, whatever they are. So, yeah, our year has begun with many unsettling situations. Fires in California, the wars, and for me as a Salvationist, you know, we're in the season of the concern for human trafficking. I don't know how much your church is involved with addictions, but it is a terrible, terrible scene out there. Homelessness. Yesterday, at the end of the day, I spoke with a young lady who has just had surgery and losing their house, and they thought someone's gonna sell the old house, they're gonna sell the house, and then they didn't, and so they'd come up with $3,000. There was no food and no ability to heat their home. They had the temperature at 7 degrees through that week. That was bitterly, bitterly cold. She just had surgery on Monday, and her mom was working day and night, but minimum wage. And I think, you know, in case she's gonna sell her house, where on earth is she gonna go? And where is she going to be able to afford to live? It's such a mess. It really is. But then, we want to look back at this time, Zechariah's time, the time when Jesus came into our world, and it looks pretty good from that angle. Okay, guys? Do we know this? In Canada. In this wonderful facility. The gifts that God gives us and the knowledge of the New Testament. Yeah? They didn't have that back then. So many of you know, in my world, we're pretty excited about our Pathway of Hope program that has helped set free a significant number of people who were caught in the webs of addictions. One of our young men has been clean for a year and a half. He is leading in Narcotics Anonymous. He is, when he was a kid, he came, actually his brother brought him to us because he thought he was going to be dead by the end of the day or the week or the month. And he and his brother were running runners for his trafficker mom. So they grew up like running drugs for their mom. To this day, they're 31 and 28. Their mom to this day continues to be a trafficker in drugs. Imagine. So repeatedly, they were run down by police officers, beaten, and threatened, but because of the situation. Imagine, friends. I don't know how many of you feel about those caught in the webs of addiction, but it's not exactly a pathway that people plan, right? I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've never discovered anyone that that was my plan, right? Often, it's due to those sort of life situations drags them down. But they can be restored, amen? Yes, they can. And we need to be praying as the person goes to light the incense. We need to be praying for what God is saying to the church. So our scripture's warning is a message of a promise fulfilled, the doubt of the hearer, and then the question, how can we hold on to God's promises and not doubt? The promises of God, the doubt of the hearer. So a couple of quotes that I looked up, the most amazing quotes, 16 amazing quotes for the year ahead, and only found three that I felt were Christ-centered. But Martin Luther King Jr. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. Amen? You don't have to see that whole staircase. You don't have to figure out, there's no way. I was watching an advertisement where somebody was trying to go down the stairs on a wheelchair, and I thought, how did they get up the stairs on that wheelchair? But you know, anybody can get up one step, can't they? And that's what we as the church is needing to be doing in 2025. Let's make that first step. Sarah Ben Brathnett, I don't think you say that right, but anyway, here we go. Take a leap of faith and begin this wonderful new year by believing. It didn't say, it doesn't really say. A leap of faith, right? A leap of faith in your heart. You might not be able to do that in your body, but in your heart, a leap of faith. And begin this, do you hear it? Wondrous new year by believing. And Michael Josephson approached the new year with resolve to find the opportunities hidden in each day. There's three. I have to send them over to you. Put them in your bulletin. So I hope and I pray that the scripture this morning will remind us to not get caught up in the shadows and troubles and hopelessness of what is in this world, but rather to keep our eyes fixed on what we know the Lord can do. So Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for a child. They prayed and waited and prayed and waited, and no child came. But it wasn't because God didn't hear their prayers. It wasn't because they were sinning. Boy, when you read that little passage and say they were doing everything right. I go to bed confessing my sins every night, as I don't think I was quite equal to Elizabeth and Zachariah in my standing. I pray for it. I strive for it. I don't think I managed it. So these guys, it wasn't because they were sinning, and so God wasn't answering their prayers. You know why it was? Does anybody know why it was?
It wasn't the right time.
It wasn't the right time, amen. That's right. It wasn't the time, and there was a special baby. That it had to be a miracle. So, it was because God had something in store for them beyond anything they could ask or imagine. And it required a miracle. So when the angel comes and gives the good news, Zachariah questions. He questions the angel, he questions God. He doubts God, and he says, how can this be? What we want to look at as we enter this new year is, okay, now I will work to give you that thing you've been praying for. We don't want to doubt God. We don't want to question God. We don't want to talk back to God. So I was sharing with you, I'll admit, I turned 67 last September, and I had this fall, the other day, a big bad fall, and so anyway, going for an x-ray on Wednesday. And one of the things I know that they're not going to ask me is, do you think you might be pregnant? Right? I can't remember the last time they did ask me. I haven't had very many x-rays. But I know it's been a while since they've been asking me, is it possible that you're pregnant? But my husband said, no. So, however, nothing is impossible for Christ. And this is what he wants us to know all the time. Like, you know, there's so many times Mary doubts. There's so many times, like, this is too big for us, or just impossible. So Luke 1:37, with God, nothing will be impossible. And Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What's impossible in your life right now, friends? What is impossible for Chesley Community Church? What is impossible for the Wyerton Salvation Army? I said to John, I think, or maybe it was Andy earlier, I said, why aren't there people, like, not able to get through the doors? Why isn't there standing room only in the church? Why isn't there masses of people wanting to be pastors? Why are their churches closing down? It grieves me. Don and I were talking about the chance that the Salvation Army in Hanover is going to close down. That's one of the conversations they had. Like, do you think you could be a two-point parish? It's like, are you kidding me? I'm trying not to work 80 hours a week. Right? I've got to figure out, you know, I got to figure this out. So, Hudson Taylor is the name maybe most of you know. Hudson Taylor, pioneer, missionary to China, said these words. There are three stages in any great work attempted for God. Three stages. Impossible, difficult, done. That's a nice one for you to remember, eh? So amazing, the work that is being done. And the thriving of the hidden church, the underground church. You know, one of the things I read this week was in Iran, everybody know this? In Iran, the church is thriving. Persecuted church. We're not exactly the persecuted church. Maybe we'd be better off. But friends, we don't need to get there. I don't want to get there. I want for people to know the joy of the Lord. One of the reasons I have been able to stay strong in tough times is because of the miracles that I have witnessed over the years in my ministry. Once upon a time, I did an article for the Salvationists. I think it was the War Cry back then, and it was called A Place of Miracles. I continue to see miracles in my world. How many in this room can put up their hand and say, I continue to see miracles? Amen, amen, amen. Because those of you maybe don't want to put up your hand, I want you to be ready to share those miracles. I want you to be saying when you greet somebody, don't talk about the weather and don't talk about politics and don't talk about bad news. Talk about the miracles. Talk about the wonderful things that God has done. Don't doubt. It may seem impossible, but God is the God of the impossible. Take time this week to remember what impossible things have happened in your journey and share the stories. Don't just look back like my big, big story of many, many know the church that God has brought me to when I would never have gone to a church where there was a woman pastor and he brought me to pastor. And it just blows my mind. I'm still 31 years later, I'm still like, oh, this is weird, right? This doesn't quite resonate with me. But I know, but I know, but I know. And the story of the reason who I am, with my brother putting a gun in his mouth and pulling the trigger when I was just 15 years old. And his name, Charles Edward Maddock, and the Salvation Army wired him between Charles and Edward Street. And you wonder why nobody moved us. Because it's there. And it's miraculous. And on top of that, in 1997, when I found that property and got, and my officer had seen the L-shaped building, saying, Mary, here's your church. And then in 2003, my brother Charles Edward Maddox Bible, that he was given by his grandmother in England, came into our sorting bag box. And then into our prayer room. Miracles. And that's a miracle. But, you know, there's been miracles, 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 miracles ever since. Multitudes of them. Volumes of them. He's working. And when God works, it's a miracle. Right? And we gotta hold on to that. We've got to hold on. It's like, don't be ashamed. I had a lady come to my farm on Friday, and she connected through mental health, and she began to tell me how she's a Satanist. And she has a pentagram on her back of her neck. And I, you know, had 2.5 hours with my horses to explain to her. No, he's the father of lies. You don't want to be in that stream. But she says, oh, there's many ways, there's many time things. And I, praise Jesus. Is that a miracle? Is that an appointment from God? Is that what he wants to share? She said, don't, you know, her mental health worker said, don't tell Mary. I have a cross up on my barn. This is God's, his field. His sanctuary. And I prayed for her. I loved on her. And I said, we'll see you next week. I'm not going to forbid her to come. Because Jesus did not forbid any of those people. The woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood. None of them did he. Did he withhold. So, sorry. Looking at my time. Second, hold on to the promises of God. He's faithful. He loves you, and he loves those who are trafficking drugs, who are being trafficked, who are turning to all kinds of terrible, terrible wickedness that's going to suck them into a deep, dark pit. It's, you know, as I study things, I just so lament that these souls who've journeyed into these paths of destruction and darkness and evil and hate and misery, and I lament, I think, that was a little beautiful loved child, or maybe not a loved child, maybe a hated child, right? Maybe a regretted child in the womb. I heard a story once where somebody said the mother used to beat her child, her son was saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. What happens? But God, the God of Zechariah, who loved Zechariah and Elizabeth. Can you imagine if you were the parent? Can you imagine how God loved them? Trust me. Trust me to the end. Trust me in your old age. And that's, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? I'm in pain. I'm suffering. I'm dripping with anxiety. I'm dripping with my situation in my family. My son is lost. He's on the streets. So many stories. So many stories I hear day by day. One of our very, very, very dear members, whose name is Sally Ann, she's called Sally Ann because the Salvation Army helped him, and she, the family, and there's a little girl her son Robert died on the streets last year, homeless, broken, in a tent. Maybe not even in a tent. Yeah, I think he was in a tent in the wintertime. An overdose of fentanyl. She grieves. She agonizes, but she loves Jesus. How long? And I believe for Robert that he is free. He loved the Lord. He had his asked for his Bible in his tent. He knew, but he was so lost to addictions. He couldn't find his way. And now he's safe in the arms of Jesus. I hope you all know that just because you're an addict doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. Just because you put a gun in your mouth doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. Just because you get caught on a dark road. Many, many who say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God. Many who are lost and people think, ugh, you know, don't let that person and waste your time with that, will be back to the arms of Jesus upon their next stages. Big other story. So is that where you are today? Prayed and prayed and prayed, but it seemed like God never heard, or that God was ignoring you, or that God was telling you no. Maybe you stopped praying. Maybe you stopped believing. Maybe you stopped hoping. As we've heard in the scripture today, God has heard your prayer. He will answer. Be patient and wait upon the Lord. And even if you stop praying, this is the good news here, even if you stop believing, we read in 2 Timothy 2:13 that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. God has something better in mind than you can ask or imagine, and he is simply waiting for his timing to make it happen. It may not happen like you thought. It's the big, big message of Zechariah and Elizabeth. But it was a big, big moment and required a big, clear message that this was God's doing, not man's doing, right? And this is maybe where he's waiting for you today. So the scripture is, this child, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Oh, my friends, do we need this? How do we need this? We hunger and thirst and be willing to surrender to achieve this in Chesley. I happen to know that Chesley is as dark a place as Wyerton, right? We all know this?
Yep.
Poverty, the addictions, of homelessness, the situations of hopelessness, it's here too. So God fulfilled his promises. God's promises will be fulfilled in his own timing and in his own way. And more than that, our disbelief does not keep God from accomplishing his purposes. Isn't that encouraging? So, God always keeps his promises. He kept his promises to Israel. He keeps his promise to Zacharias. And he will keep his promises to you. In causing Elizabeth to become pregnant in her old age, we read that he took away her reproach. What a gift. You know, I find that line super, super important. We don't have to come away from today feeling regret. We don't have to come away saying, okay, that's why I gave you the quote, just one step. Just one step. One leap of faith and say, you know what? On the 13th of January, I want to share with someone
a miracle. I want to share with them the joy of the Lord. I want to share with them how we'll make that step. On our staff meeting on Thursday, we learned about the three circle of 3 minutes to salvation. Pretty cool. And I'll share it with you all if you're interested. We're all gonna go and practice. We're gonna practice. My granddaughter's gonna turn 14 on Tuesday. Three circle. We're living in a broken world. Living in a broken world. But God didn't make that broken world. He made a world where He loves everyone. But we didn't want that. We walked away to this place of sin. The third circle is the cross where Jesus died, and we can go into that, turn in belief, and you'll get back. You want to be back into that circle where God is love. 3 minutes, little wee children sharing that story. It was so cool. That's something you've got to be starting to do, friends. And so, you'll take away our reproach and our greatest shame. That's what God wants to do. He wants to do that for the little girl, the young lady that I was talking to. I long to share with her. I thank God that she called us and we were able to take her food on Friday, and that we maybe will help to get their propane filled, and that we then can maybe help for a circumstance that can help her to stay in her home with her mom and her sister who has a disability. Because there was a way that's impossible. Yeah. So finally, it makes me wonder if we're not all affected in similar ways. God's kingdom has come with the birth, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, and the adoption of many sons and daughters into the family. God's kingdom continues to come in our hearts and in the circumstances of our lives and our relationships. Amen? Right? He continues to bring sinners into the kingdom and continues to change souls in His kingdom to the image of His Son. And yet, are our hearts on fire? Are we focusing on what God can do? Are we watching and waiting for the miracle? Maybe we need to doubt less and praise more, believing that God's plan continues to unfold even now, just as it did in the beginning when Jesus was sent into this world to bring us home. I have to admit, when I read this part of Zechariah, I wonder why he was caused to be mute. Is that when you've listened to the story? Why was he mute?
Because he doubted.
But why did they make him mute? Why didn't he just mute for a day? He was like a mute for a year.
Because what you say matters.
Amen. Amen. And I'd love you to discuss this around your soup and lunch today. Because the whole thing is, from my personal opinion, I read all kinds of commentaries about this. But my personal feeling is, does it give you joy to share the gospel? Does it give you joy? And like, he should have been going out there and saying, I told you. This guy knew more about the gospel than probably all of us put together. Right? Not the gospel. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But the word of God, the promise of God. Right? He was a priest. Right? And obviously his wife, too. And we should have been saying, I told you! Right? We are children of Abraham and Sarah. We know how it went wrong there. We've got to be excited about the gospel, and we've got to share that excitement. I'm saying, no, you guys, there's not many paths to heaven. There is one way, one truth, and one light. So as we leave from here today, let's not go in doubt of what the Lord is doing. Stand on the promises and share what the Lord has done and what the Lord can do. And praise Him.
Praise him in the shadow. Praise him in the storm. Praise him as you're grieving. Praise him as maybe it hasn't been the way that you want it to be. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you that your plan continues to unfold just as it did when Jesus was sent into the world to bring us home. Please help us to praise you in our lives. Help us to have a heart on fire for what you are going to do in the churches this today and the days ahead. Help us to see your plan of salvation at work in the world each and every day. I pray you bless each one that's gathered here today. I pray that if there is something that they, if there's someone here that's feeling that their situation is even more impossible than was Zachariah and Elizabeth's, I pray that your Holy Spirit would pour out upon them, and there would be fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh joy.